I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pot of thunder and rock and roll, and you know what time it is. It's time for the Duff McKagan joke of the week.
Chris Jericho, Duff McKagan calling you. Hey, listen, you know, not only did Eminem almost forget about Dre, but he went on vacation back then, and he forgot Tupac. Thank you very much. Bye.
The Duff music jokes are back. I love those. And thanks to Duff for hooking up the laughs every single Friday. And the Guns N' Roses tour starts up tomorrow night, Saturday in Pennsylvania. It's going to be huge. Great to have live music and shows back. Great to be back on the road. Charlotte was awesome last week for AEW Dynamite. And Fozzy is back on the road too. We got a big festival in August at Brat Days in Sheboygan on the 7th. And then the Save the World tour gets underway on September 2nd. All tickets and VIP at FozzyRock.com, starting September 2nd in Columbus, 3rd in Joliet, 4th in Belvedere, both close to Chicago if you guys are coming into town for, is it All Out? Yeah, All Out, September 5th. So the 3rd is about an hour from Chicago. The 4th is about 2 hours away. Then we got Kansasville on the 6th, Harrisburg on the 9th, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Don't forget Flint, Johnson City, Pittsburgh, Cleveland are all sold out. So get your tickets now at FozzyRock.com. VIPs are almost sold out all across the tour as well. So go check that out at FozzyRock.com and get the tickets that you can get that are available. And don't forget to come laugh with the Winnipeggers. New episode came out last night, Bad Tattoos. From bad portraits to misspelled words, Dave Ribo and I found some good ones. Join us every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern on my Facebook page and my YouTube channel for new episodes of the Winnipeggers. You will have a laugh. All right, today I got real-life brothers Sunil and Samir Singh, a.k.a. the Bollywood Boys, Herv and Gurv. They were recently released by the WWE, and they share the story about how they found out, why they were so shocked, the text they got from Bret Hart right after it happened, what they plan to do next. They are on a watch, for sure, for their future. Gurv also talks about the freak dislocated shoulder injury he suffered during his last WWE match. Pure guts and courage for Gurv to follow through on that. One of the gutsiest performances you'll see. Plus, you hear about their run with Jinder Mahal, what inspired the Bollywood Boys gimmick, their social media exchange with The Rock, which was great, what they learned about comedy from working with R-Truth, the advice they give to the young kids that they're working with. And, of course, since they're Canadian boys, they got stories from the Tony Candelo Northern Death Tours. You're not going to want to miss those. Great stuff today with the Bollywood Boys. Harv and Gurv, take it away. All right, so returning to Talk is Jericho after, gosh, probably 3 or 4 years is Harv and Gurv Shira, formerly known as the Singh Brothers. And it's interesting because when we first started talking, it was kind of at the beginning of the WWE journey. And as of right now, there's been a so-called end. Sure, not maybe completely not the end, but you guys have been set out free. And but 5 years is a pretty good run in the company. So how do you guys, I mean, how did you find out and how do you feel about everything that's gone down, that you've had a couple of weeks to breathe maybe?
Well, it's funny you say 5 years because on Facebook, the memories show up as what comes up that year or whatever. And I had just shared this post of this Cruiserweight Classic tournament that we had done 5 years ago. And I'm like, oh, cool. This is like 5 years ago on this day. And like, sure enough, that week it all came crumbling down.
They probably saw that post there. Here's the ultimate rib.
At least 5 years.
Yeah.
But it's so funny though, because there were so many releases over the past year.
Yeah.
And some were very surprising. Some you didn't even know they were still in the company. And you guys were still working, still coming down and doing your thing. I'm sure it was a little bit weighing on your consciousness, sure. Thinking every time these rounds of releases come.
I think it was like 4 massive cuts and within a year. I don't think that's ever happened. And so like we kind of, I mean, how many can you keep escaping, you know? Eventually, like, you know, and then I'm glad we made the last one. If
right now, because the thing is, we were sitting home for almost 8 months when the pandemic first
started. Right.
And when that first set of cuts happened,
we were pretty much ready at that time.
Yeah, but to your point, we were still sticking around, and we still flew and came into work during the pandemic
The last 9 months, and somehow just kept going and going.
Yeah, no, I mean, then kind of like there was a bit of a relief when the call came too, in a weird way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we never quite had a run or went for the tag titles, whereas like it wasn't like something fell flat. I don't think it was really us. It was kind of made... You know, we were kind of told it wasn't us. It was just this whole overall picture thing that's happening. And
like, it was not like we got blamed for anything. Yeah. Like, all your guys are getting released because of a certain thing. But like, it was just, I guess, what the company's going through right now, a phase. And we weren't really told as to why. We were just like, all right, cool. You know,
how did you find out?
So it's funny because on our days off, we go train at the ring up in Vancouver there. And we literally both had just pulled up, had our boots in our hands, knee pads, and ready to break a sweat. And I think Harv had a missed call. I got the call answered, and we're letting you go. And here's your 90 days. Okay, cool. And then
Harv got ends in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, right?
Like, right.
But what a way to go out during wrestling, you know, just kind of like this, because we always work out on our days off just to stay ready. There's no live events. There's no house shows right now. So for us, like getting in the ring and breaking a sweat every on our days off is the way we operate. So getting that call is like, okay, cool. Let's just put our boots on and...
Did you still train?
Yeah, oh, hell yeah. You still train? Broke a nice little sweat.
It's funny, there was a heat wave in Vancouver.
Yeah.
It was good timing in that sense.
Well, it's interesting because you guys, the earliest memories of you guys is just showing up.
Yeah.
I remember seeing you in Toronto
14 years ago.
In your suits and wherever it was, Calgary or whatever it was, and you guys would just be there. Like, oh, we just thought we'd come here to try and get a look. Yeah. And it's one of those things where, like, you're thinking, geez, like, these guys are really wanting it,
but
will it ever happen? And it did.
Yeah, and we got to go back to Air Canada Center where we met you 2 years ago, and we got to wrestle. Yeah, we got to wrestle there, and...
I feel like we had a really good run for guys who were, you know, smaller guys and coming out of the Pacific Northwest in Vancouver. We had 5 years was like, my God, like, and I think we could have lasted a few more. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, like, again, with this overall picture thing, I don't think, like, I felt really good about where we were headed, like our matches and like the overall feedback we were getting every week. Like, we were, I think in the last 8 months, we probably missed 1 or 2 weeks where we didn't do anything.
And that was just because of flights. It wasn't like anything on us.
We were booked practically every week. So, you know, it's better to be booked than not booked.
And when we met you, that was 14 years ago. So that's a long journey from...
Right, sure it is. It's interesting, too, though, because like you said, that is a long trip from Vancouver to Orlando. And usually, too, throughout the course of a year, we travel West Coast, East Coast, Canada, up, down, wherever.
Yeah.
But this was a year and change of that monster. Like, I can't think of a further spot.
Yeah, from one end of the continent.
From one end of the country to the continent to the other.
Platinum on every airline.
Right? The miles were great. But, like, to your point, like... you know, if there was ever a time for us to feel threatened to get cut was last year when they made that batch of cuts back in April, because we were just sitting home for 8 months not knowing when we're going back to work or if we are, or, you know, not until the borders open up. So, but we stayed ready, and then we got the call to go back to work. We were flying, and to my brother's point, I think we missed 2 shows, and that was because of flight cancellations or nothing in our hands.
It's interesting, too, when the news got out that you were released, you had a lot of people coming out and complimenting you.
Yeah.
You want to go through some of the list of the guys? Because they're all over social media.
Yeah.
I think Brett would be the first one. That getting that text from Brett is like...
You guys are always wearing Brett the Hitman shirts.
Yeah.
And that's just like, you know, kind of just like...
Canadian homage.
Yeah.
Right.
But we got Brett text us saying that, don't worry, we'll be okay. And then
Foley.
Randy.
Randy. Especially Randy's is the one that kind of like really surprised us because he didn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to work with Randy and then earning and gaining his respect to the point where he put us on that pedestal when we, it made us feel good. Like, okay, we'll
be
all
right.
Look
back at your career.
You didn't expect that. Cause there's that great, gif of, I think it's you, Harv, of Brandy just dumping you on the table on your head and then going
replay an eternity.
Right? That's because you went up for him so well, right?
I think that was the thing that, you know, when we got that thing, I remember Shawn Michaels telling us, like, if you get one bump, make sure it gets replayed. And like literally every pay-per-view.
It's like what they always say, maximize your minutes, no matter what you get.
You always say that, right?
Yeah, you get 30 seconds on screen, make the most of it. And that's what we did, especially during the Jinder run, is like, you know, we know we're the side characters of that whole run, but we're going to make the most of whatever opportunity we get when we get that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, like being at live events, like we'd always be like, hey, what bump can we take? Yeah. We'd get gorilla pressed out of the ring on live events just because we didn't want to coast and be like, oh, you know, like, hey,
collecting a paycheck.
So we'd like getting, you know, tossed out of the rings during live events. And like, we were like, whatever.
It took a while to get smart to the fact, this is a live event, guys. You don't have to kill yourself.
Exactly. Because there are the moments with the TV, with the cameras on. But even your last match though, Gervin, you got hurt. Dude. I mean, I saw the clip of it. I mean, your shoulder's kind of just hanging out there on a thread sort of thing. Tell us what happened with that.
Yeah, man, just one of those freak accidents. Like, took a kick, momentum of the kick took my arm up in the air. I've had a dislocation before, but I mean, I've been good for like several years, and then sure enough, it just came out, and I was trying to put it back into socket as the match was happening, and it wouldn't go, and the ref was asking me, you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm good, but I'm not, right? I know my shoulder's out, I'm messed up, but man, my opponent picked me up for a body slam. It had to be the most painful bump ever with the shoulder out. I thought as he's picking me up, I'm like, maybe the shoulder will pop back into place. It didn't happen. But I mean, it was one of those things. I know nowadays you probably just roll out and call it a day and ride off into the sunset. But I'm like, I'm going to finish this match off. That's the way, it's just ingrained. It's in my DNA.
Right.
You know, so
that was technically our last match too.
When what's you think that?
About, yeah, that was the last one.
That was our very last match. As like, the what Bollywood boys out on TV, you know, like, what a way to go out. And I was still trying to put it back in place during the match. Didn't happen, and rolled out of the ring after it was done. And medical took me to the back, trying to put it back in. Wasn't going in. Sure enough, they took me to the hospital, sedated me, and finally went into place. And Scotty Tuhati, coach down at the Performance Center, he was with me the whole way, and he saw it happen, you know. And he's a producer of that match that night, too. So he appreciated it, you know. And even Shawn Michaels came up to me after the match just saying, hey, saw what you did there, but, you know, protect yourself too. And but I was like, you
fighting spirit, right?
Yeah. I know all the old school guys would have done it.
Well, at this point, after 14 years, you guys are almost old school. Yeah. Way, right?
That's my point. You would have done it.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit HelloAlma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's HelloAlma.com/therapy60.
So let's talk a little bit about that Jinder run, because that was kind of the high point of your run in WWE, I'd say. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. Was the thing that kind of internationally, for sure, like getting India right now, like fans from India are consistent. Like, we're like, you know, we can't wait for these pandemic restrictions to end, because it's like so much
to
work
go
out
to
there.
India, right?
Yeah. It's like we're getting bombarded with work, so we're like. And that's because of the whole run, we were able to be on that national platform.
So there's what you're saying, there's a lot of independents and companies running in India that want to bring you over.
Even like movies, man. It's like, I mean, there's so much, like, but that's the love we're getting from all, you know, that.
The Bollywood boys gimmick is a shoot now.
Yeah.
Bollywood Brad Pitt.
But that's kind of one of the reasons why I always kind of thought that WWE brought you in, amongst others, was that you could go to India and be one of the names from, because I know they're trying to build that country, right?
Yeah. And like, even the show that they did in January, it was technically, I believe, supposed to happen in India, but they ended up taping it here in Tampa.
Oh.
But because of the pandemic, they couldn't run the show there. I think they were supposed to do tryouts and a whole bunch of other cool things with like students from Kali school, I believe. And but it all kind of got postponed.
So they had a show at the PC that they...
No, the show was in... Was it
Thunderdome? Yeah, Thunderdome. Yeah, yeah, it was for India specifically,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
I remember
believe,
that.
Yeah,
it was called Superstar Spectacular or something. Yeah, yeah. And yeah, well, it was technically... I don't know if it was... probably going to be in India. But
yeah.
It was more you were like Sony Sports in India.
Yeah. What was the match?
Well, we... That was kind of cool. Like, we worked Drew and those two
into
Shear, but like just to be in the ring with the WWE champ at that time, we were like, oh man, we're in the main event spot. Like, you know, kind of like that confidence of like, hey man, we're doing well. Like, you know, like we're being put in different spots over the last 5 years. Like, you know, it's a roller coaster WWE ride. You know, you do the run with Jinder, and that, like 3 years later, you're kind of in a main event situation for India, which is really cool.
And the ratings for that show were ridiculous. It's like, 24 million or something
in India.
In India,
Especially, I would imagine, especially for that match, because all you guys in there are from from India, have Indian
and
backgrounds.
Our
right?
job specifically for that match was to shine up and to share, which was totally fine with us because that's what we're known for, is shining up people and making them look like $1 million. But for us, like to my brother's point, was to be in that main event spot, put in that position where all the higher ups were watching this show. You know, so for us, that was like a... You guys are doing pretty good for us.
It's interesting because you guys do have the reputation of, like you said, being the guys that kind of make other guys look good, which is a great place to be in.
Right.
But when you're talking about shining up into Shear.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like a younger, you know, tag team from India, whatever. How do you guys shine them up with the experience that you have? Like, what kind of advice did you give them?
Well, we were like, one, like we knew we had to take the bumps that were going to get replayed. But at the same time, like, putting together a match, I think that was their first match.
First or second match.
Putting together a match that was easier for them, and talking to them in Hindi or in Punjabi, and kind of leading them
through. You guys spoke the same.
So it kind of just like that. And the fact that Drew was in there, and he was the WWE champ, to be like just even that spotlight of that.
It calmed everything down. You know,
you know,
that was the biggest thing for them. You know, it was a taped show. However, they know like there's only one take here. There's no like, okay, stop, let's redo that. You know, this is one take. So to my brother's point, when we were putting it together, just as simple as possible, as easy as possible for where they were at. And they did really well. I mean, like, you know, I have no trouble communicating and remembering everything that we talked about. So they were happy with it. The coaches were happy. That's the main thing, you know, getting the pat on the back from Hunter and Sean and everybody else. That was like, just go out there and make those kids look good. They're not even really kids. They're like our age. But
to your point, you're kind of like, you know, like the Jinder point was probably like the most like TV, like, time we were having. But I think the most fun we had was this last
100%
9 months, because we were working every week. We were like 15-16
on 205
15-16 minute matches. We're working a lot of the newer guys, so we're like being put in spots to carry them, which forces you to step up. And you know, you got like Sean giving you feedback, Terry Taylor, who I can't say enough good things about Terry Taylor. I feel like as performers, we turned a corner.
Yeah.
Just being Terry watching our matches and giving us feedback. Like, it was like coming back, and if Terry's like, I didn't like that, and then the following week he's like, that was great, you knew he's telling the truth.
But Terry doesn't lie.
No.
Yeah, he doesn't have a filter either.
No, and that's
what that was the shits.
Yeah, exactly.
100%.
And so when a guy like Terry's like, awesome.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm on a roll.
But
like,
if you're the shit, he'll tell you why it was the shit. You know, not just say you're the shit.
He'll sit down with you and like...
Yeah, break it down. The psychology and the reasoning behind it. And like, to my brother's point, like those 8 months, like in-ring confidence and where we were at, oh man, it was beautiful. We even told creative that was running 205 at that time, we're like, just bring us down no matter what. Like, we'll film a promo, we'll do whatever, like, for that show, just because we were making up for time lost, sitting home for 9 months.
And that's why, like,
during the pandemic. So, yeah, it's a long flight. They were even asking, do you guys sure you want to make all these? Like, you damn right we do, because we want to make up for the time lost. Our confidence is going through the roof, and we're learning so much. You can't, right now, without live events, you're not going to learn this stuff anywhere else. Yeah. And you're getting real-time feedback as you're walking through Gorilla. Because, Chris, you were there when 205 may have just started out.
Just had started,
or, like, Cruiserweight Classic Tournament. Yeah. Man, after those tapings, it was ghost town in Gorilla. Mm-hmm. There was nobody left. You had a couple of producers, that's about it. But like, all the higher ups were gone. So you're just working for nobody to give you any feedback.
You can have the greatest match and there's nobody there.
Yeah. Exactly. And then kind of like, even though there was a bit of relief when we got like go, there was some shock, because we were working every week, and it was like the feedback was great. Yeah. You know, like it wasn't like anything we could have like really.
Did they film 205 the same nights they filmed NXT?
Yes. NXT, yeah. Yeah.
So you are getting Hunter and Sean.
Yeah, yeah, and those yeah. Type of yeah. Guys. And I know we built a great relationship with Sean in those 8 months because we like.
Even we would appreciate as a former smaller guy,
right?
Not now, but at the time, he was small, right?
Yeah. And then we'd had so many great talks with him about like where we're headed and like you know stuff like you know what we could do or like the last match and like man, we were like our confidence was like.
Like he really knew good. That we were strong character guys, but he's like, there are certain points where in the match psychology, like where we can implement the character stuff, not like just do it for the hell of doing it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. you know, hey, maybe place that dance or this cockiness here after this spot or whatever it may be. But it was just picking his brain and learning. You can't buy that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, where else are you going to learn from Shawn Michaels?
You know? Right, so, right. That's stuff you can take with you forever.
Forever.
Yeah. And then impart that into other people, other younger guys that you work with.
And he was another guy that reached out to us after we got released, just saying, hey, man, like, wherever you guys land, just know that place would be lucky to have you guys.
I think, and that was Terry Taylor was pretty much like, you guys are TV ready.
Yeah.
And that's, TV wrestling is a lot different than professional wrestling. And then Terry said that to us, we were like, you know, we're kind of like ready to now take that wherever we need
and
to take
your
it.
Point there, Chris, as well, like the gender run was great for us as far as getting that international exposure. But once we started working here in the last, like, we almost felt like we were making up, because during the gender run, we were on the sideline just watching from the outside in. But being in that ring, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
You know that too. Mm-hmm. And just doing that, like, the last several months just.
Yeah, it was the most fun we had.
Did you, because you guys always had a lot of creative ideas with the, you know, the backstage videos that you would do and all that different stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is smart because you want to keep yourself on screen. Yeah, if you're not on TV, then we'll do our own thing.
Right, sure.
And Instagram, all that sort of thing. Did you guys pitch a lot of stuff creatively as well?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about some of the ideas that you had.
Man, we had, like, these ideas where we could have done, like, vignettes.
Well, I think just the character alone, like, the Bollywood character. Like, I always felt that every character has been done in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But there's never been two Indian actors. Bollywood is the biggest movie industry in the world.
And it's a thing,
It's a real thing. It's not, like, a make-believe thing. It's the biggest movie industry in the world. And, like, we're playing these characters. Like, okay, there's so much you could do. Like, the vignettes, the promos, the entrances. The entrance alone, like, getting down. Answers and whatever, and like we pitched having like extras who wrestle for us, and it was actually the Indashir who was supposed to be like, we'd come out and like sit on our chairs and they dress up like us and they do our matches for us, like stuff like that. And I mean whether it got approved or not,
another person like John Cena, for example, he was really good with us as far as giving us feedback on talk about why Bollywood is bigger than Hollywood, talk about why the actors are better than Hollywood actors, talk about why you as Bollywood actors are better than the other 205 wrestlers or whoever is on that roster. So like we had all these ideas, and I remember pitching this one where to my brother's point, like we not have like Indashir do the match, but like have them beat him up and then we slide in and they would wear our tassels.
They're your stuntmen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. So you know, we always thought that would have been cool, but you know, to my brother's point.
Yeah, no, I mean we wanted to do like we had a talking segment. Yeah. That we wanted to do was like, I think we called it the casting couch or something. Like,
casting couch,
like you know, like the sleazy Indian movie producer. So we started filming on our own. But it's like, until you get it on TV, you could do it as so much on social media until you get that.
And even when during the pandemic, we went out and bought a green screen and just knocked out videos.
Saw them.
We were just putting out anything that clicked, you know, and that was the frustrating part. Is like, you're trying to connect with and trying to show. But, you know, there's only so many ideas you can pitch till you're blue in the face.
And
I mean, you've been in this business long enough. You try, but you can't be mad about it because they have other ideas. You know?
You guys are very charismatic, though, and you want to be able to show
that.
And that's, I think, with the gender run, I think we got stripped a lot of that. So I remember when we got the chance to finally be ourselves again, we're like, okay, like, who are the two most successful guys who transitioned from, like, that managerial role to wrestlers? The two guys stood out was Road Dogg and DDP. And we, like, hey, what did they do? They were so charismatic. They were over the top. And we kind of tried to do that with, like, I remember, like the Ventura, like, look with the do-rags and the long earrings. And a lot of it was just like, let's just try shit. Mm. And I don't know if it's going to work, but let's just go the opposite route. Yeah. Like, the flashy gear. And we spent, like, $5,000-$7,000 on gear. Like, whatever it took to really get away from all that, the dress shirt look.
Yeah.
To be like, hey,
because we went from wearing, like, flashy clothes to, like, just slacks and...
That's what they had with Jinder. That's because that's probably what they wanted you to
do,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. And they were like, okay, so we...
And because you were like his assistants or his minions or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
And then I remember when we went back to 205 and Adam Pierce, the producer for at that time, he was like, hey, listen, I already got guys who can do all the flips and the dives. I just need you guys to be those shitty heels that you guys were, you know, just a few months ago. So, you know, yeah. We're just playing up that role and being those cocky, arrogant heels that who are better Bollywood actors than
you. Yeah. So.
It's tough because, it was hard for all of us the last year when there was no fans. And,
right.
You know, even Thunderdome or like AEW, we had 500 fans or whatever. It's not the same.
Yeah.
Do you think that it would have been easier for you and better for you, and I already know what you're going to say, if there was crowds there to react to some of these ideas that you're having?
Yeah, I know, like the Capitol Wrestling Center that's been set up, right. That crowd is very like, they get into it.
Is that a real crowd?
I think there was like
a couple hundred people.
But I mean, even they were dancing, but I don't think that would translate on TV. So we felt like there was like 500, 600 people dancing.
5,000 like there normally would be.
And like, I think what the great thing was, because there was a return audience of whoever was in Orlando, they would see us every week. Like, oh, they're back. Yeah. They're working. And we were booked, like I said, every week. And you could see the transition from when we came back to like just our last few matches where like people were really, like, we had our characters down, the work was there, and we were like, that's why it was like, we felt we were like, okay, it's all coming together, the character work, the gimmick, the matches, and we were feeling really good about everything.
So were you kind of, then it was kind of a shock then when you got the call?
Kind of, yeah.
But there especially was, I know there was talks of, there's still, I don't know if there's still talks or not, but like doing a NXT India show.
Oh.
Right. So, you know, when you were like, okay, cool. And we felt like we may be the guys that helped the newer kids coming into the Performance Center from India, help them lead the way. And, you know, so that we felt like, okay, that might be something that they can rely us on, right?
There's also UK. I know that was talked about.
We talked about sending us over to the UK and do NXT UK. Just, we wanted to work wherever.
Right.
There's only so much real estate on 205 or NXT or Raw, SmackDown. So, but there's so much work within the company. We're like, send us over to the UK.
And that was the thing. 205 was like a 25-minute show, and we'd always have a tag match on there. Mm-hmm. You know, like when there's like a roster full of guys that could have been. So that's why we always like, I guess we're doing something right.
Yeah.
We're flying 18 hours from Vancouver every week.
We didn't want to. We were flying in. We're like, we're not leaving until we've accomplished something, which is like, do whatever it took. To your point, film something for social, do something for your own Twitter account or something, just to make the most of your time and maximize your minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So
I want to go back to the gender thing, because there's a couple of cool things about that. But so what's the idea now? Like, obviously you said it was a little bit of a relief. I'm sure there's a little bit like, you know, when your girlfriend breaks up with you, so you feel a little bit like, now that it's been a couple of weeks to clear your head, now that the borders are opening up, because we talked about this earlier, living in Canada was not easy to get into the States.
Yeah.
What's your idea now? Indies, trying to wait until it opens up more, or you have ideas for the States? Can you get into the States?
Yeah, we could get into the States. And I think it was crazy when it happened, like the messages we got from like Singapore, like India, and like, I guess there's shows happening there where people are like, hey, this is the dates we're having, like all these Middle East promoters, like, and we're
sure there's a lot of them over there too. Yeah, we're like, over there,
that kind of blew my mind, and I you know, it was just,
and the UK has got such a strong Indian fan base as well, that, you know,
they
want to bring in. We've already talked to a couple of people. Like, you never know who's serious and who's just gonna kayfabe you after, like when you tell them what you asking and what the deal is, right? But I mean, I know like India, it's opening up a lot of promotions, and you know, schools are popping up everywhere, but you gotta be careful where you go, because you can't just pick up any random book as well. So we gotta protect our brand in that sense. But to your point, the world's opening up, you know, and I feel in the next 90 days here, once it all settles down, we're gonna be okay, to be, especially right now, because you know, to my brother's point as well, overseas there's so much happening. Everyone's trying to capitalize on the wrestling, and I think the market's so hot.
The real estate of being on WWE TV.
Yeah,
well, that lasts forever.
Yeah, you know, and like that's when the release happened. Obviously, then when you start getting these like whatever, like promoters messaging you from all these places, like Philippines, and like, yeah, I'll come out to the Philippines, but it's like, you don't think like, but it's like, man, that holds a lot of value. And
you could do signings for the next 30 years if that's what you wanted to do.
Northern
as well,
Manitoba, right? Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot in the States too. I mean, I think once again, there's been such a bottleneck of people just waiting to go out and do things. I mean, there's a lot of big matches for you guys to have in this country.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many tag teams out there, and we talked about,
name some that you
would, yes, I mean,
Pretend there was no companies. Who would you just like to work with?
We've always wanted to lock up with FTR. Mm. You know, we used to talk about it during our NXT run, and when they were on SmackDown and Raw, we would always talk about it because at that time they were doing their thing, but we were still with Jinder. So we're like, once we get loose here, hopefully we can lock
That'd
up.
That'd be a great hard hitting.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys would beat the crap out of each other.
Or like even the Young Bucks, you know, two brother tag teams. Yeah. You know,
right.
Similar, they've been past, and like we never even cross paths, but
I think where we're
story of two brothers locking up tag team, that's there.
Where we're lucked out now. Before, when we're trying to make it, we're stuck in the Pacific Northwest. Right. Nobody was, you know, now with
it's hard up there.
With the WWE coming, like with that background, now it's like, okay, now the world's opening up for us. And that was the issue we used to have when we're on the indies. Like, we're just stuck in Calgary.
It's like, why should we book you? Why should we bring you
and
up?
Now and it's like getting all these offers around the world, and it's like, like Japan, man. Like, I remember us wanting to love to go to Japan, but it just never fruition because you're in Vancouver. It's too far.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and it's like it was always that issue.
And even Impact Wrestling, they got some great tag teams that we'd love to, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, like,
I think the Good Brothers versus the Singh Brothers is a dream match right
Bollywood
there.
Bollywood Boys, come on.
Bollywood Boys. Can you use Bollywood Boys still?
Yeah. We use it on the indies.
All right.
Yeah.
As long as you trademarked it, you got to trademark that shit.
You sound like you don't believe us.
If not, you call yourself the Bollywood Boys.
Yeah, there
no
you
one
go.
Will know the difference.
Sleazy Indian movie producers.
Exactly. Bollywood. So, the Good Brothers versus the Bollywood Boys, I think, would be great. That's another one right there. You guys have a lot of ideas, and that's what I really appreciate about you guys. Where do you get the inspiration for your ideas?
The movies. Yeah. I know, like, Bollywood movies. I mean, going back to what we talked about, it's never been done.
Yeah.
The characters.
You should pull up some of the old school trailers for Bollywood movies.
Like, well, tell us about some of
them. Like, the t-shirt we just finally got, before we got released, we had t-shirt. Which is the funniest thing in the world.
Oh, man.
I remember TJ was like, he was like, well, that's always a good sign. Like, 3 weeks later.
And Canada can't even get the shirts.
But we sent, like, Bollywood movie posters. Like, Bollywood movie posters are so larger than life. They're colorful, like, dancers. And I'm like, hey, can we do something like this? And they love the idea. So we got t-shirts finally made. Yeah. All these movies that the American audience hasn't seen, that we wanted to do trailers, like, parody the trailers of them. And sometimes you do need like a little bit of a backing of like a social media team to help you out. So we'd always like, hey, let's do it, and then something would come up the following week at TVs where it would never happen. But it's like, man, it was like ideas were
you know, we would well love. Another thing is, like, people forget, like, Indian actors, Bollywood actors, their fan following is bigger than most Hollywood actors. I mean, the biggest movie star, Shah Rukh Khan, he's got like over, like, what,
200 million
followers on Twitter.
What's his name?
Shah Rukh Khan. Yeah, and like, he's one of those actors that went from, like, it's a rags to riches story. Like, literally, like, you know.
I did this music video in India. It has like 10 million views. And it was like, it's really like just cheesy. Totally cheesy. Like, me standing, drinking water, like total baby face. Like, right. But
as, drinking water like
trying,
a baby.
Trying to win the girl over,
guess, right? Yeah. But I mean, I remember wanting to, like, can we do that on TV? Look how huge of a Bollywood star I am, whether it's true or not. Like, there's some legitimacy to that. And, like, all this stuff that we could have done.
It's like when you were on WCW, like, back in, like, early, like, you were still the you were playing that rocker gimmick, but, like, you didn't have what you like at what now with Fozzy, but you still believed it, and fans believed it.
Right.
I feel like we're in that similar spot where, like, people know we're not legitimate Bollywood actors, but if we tell the audience why we are,
perception is reality.
Perception is reality, and we can do this vignettes with the green screen and you know, do like a cheesy. If you watch, like, Bollywood trailers from the 80s, they're so cheesy and, like, ridiculous looking that it would pop the audience. You know what I'm saying?
So, like, one thing that actually did help us when we were doing the 24/7 title with R-Truth, we were putting out these dance videos with The Rock.
Yeah.
And he was responding to all of them, and that helped us a lot with the company, because then, like, oh, The Rock's responding to it.
How would you mean dance videos?
Like, so we would take, like, The Rock's, what was Hobbs and Shaw, and we would dub Bollywood music over it.
Ah,
so over, like, a fight scene or something.
Gotcha. Or, like, it breaks out into a
Bollywood dance.
Like, The Rock breaks
so
into
an edit.
Yeah, and then it breaks out into a Bollywood dance scene. Like, because that's sometimes Bollywood movies are like that, where it's like you're about to fight the bad guys and it's a huge, like, big dance scene. And, like, that kind of stuff really helped. But we're like, we need to get that on TV. We're doing it on our social when it's getting hits and, like, that kind of stuff.
The machine gets behind you, it's so much easier.
Of course.
Right.
So you would post these things and The Rock would respond.
Yeah, we gave The Rock a Bollywood, a Bosker. So we were
a Bosker.
Yeah, so we called our Bollywood award a Bosker. And we got a text like from the office saying, "Hey, it's too close to Oscars. So you can't use it. I can't use that going forward." Because the idea was to kind of start using it on TV, but
right,
Bosker's so close to Oscar, they like kiboshed it. So, but we gave The Rock a Bosker for some award he had won that week, and he responded back saying how grateful he was. And you know we're bullshitting him, but he's like playing along with it.
And that,
you understand what we're trying to do. So when we met him actually at the very first set of SmackDown tapings in LA a couple of years ago, we told him, "Hey, thanks a lot. Like, you know, we know, you know,
where like he doesn't need to retweet."
Yeah, you don't need to retweet any of our shit. We're just two guys trying to, you know, get over and like trying to make our characters work. But he appreciated what we did, and he told us the same thing. He's like, "Just keep throwing shit against the wall, see what sticks, and maybe somebody's watching it from the back and be like, hey, you know what? Let's put that on."
And that's the thing we walked away from. He's like, "You just got to throw shit against the wall." Like, right, it's hard sometimes to keep.
That's why when we got released, it wasn't like, "Oh, we're gonna go and cry or like not leave the house for 4 hours or like whatever." It was more like, "Hey, okay, let's train, let's keep running idea, let's revamp our characters, let's tweak it here, maybe change our name here or whatever maybe." But
whatever
it was,
maybe, right?
Yeah, so we still got that Rocky Balboa fighting spirit in us, man.
Yeah. Well, you made it once, right?
After exactly.
To me, the fact that you were always showing up and always around,
yeah,
and then it finally happened.
Yeah, I mean, 14 years ago, like you said, when we met you, that was just us lying to Air Canada security that we were booked as extra talent. We weren't, and we just name dropped TR and had our 8x10s in hand bumping into you.
Well, something you kind of just said right now, I always feel like the fact we made it to WWE, we can make anything happen.
Yeah, right.
Because I mean, again, like when like we're on the indies, like everyone's like, "Oh, you can't make it, you can't make it." But
well, I mean, and like I said, it all goes in relative stages. In 1990, when I started, I was small.
Yeah.
You'll never make you too small. And go down the generations, you probably got it too. You'll never make you too small. You guys want to be in the WWE? Bah, no way. Not realizing that size isn't important and not as important as it used to be more.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's the mentality. If we did it there, you know, okay. Right.
And all lasting right. 5 years, like you said, you know, for like two guys under 6 feet, under 200 pounds, like we can't overcame a lot of odds. And that's just because we don't give up easily. You know what I'm saying? It's not like we throw in the towel. And
I feel like our WWE run, there's like, we were always used. Even if we weren't on like the main, like we did the Cruiserweight Classic, then the gender thing happened. Then we started doing stuff with R-Truth for the 24/7 title for about a year. And from there, okay, we're putting you on 205 and like always consistently booked.
Yeah.
There was very little.
At one point, I think we were on Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and 205.
There was like 4 weeks of
showing up.
We were
like what brand are these guys on?
Still over the place, right?
Yeah, but we're like,
let's talk about some of your favorite ones. Let's talk about the 24/7. That looked like it was a lot of fun. You guys were actually WWE champion.
Yeah.
Champion. Were you sharing it? Or
I don't know. We weren't sharing
each other.
I think I pinned him at the Garden, to be honest. Yeah.
Pinned him in the Garden.
Yeah, I pinned him in the Garden.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah, so we have this one picture where, like, I think, remember when Brett Owen worked and, like, I think Brett got his arms up in the air in frustration. Me and Harv had a spot in that match with Truth where, like, Harv and I started going at it, and he pushes me, and he's got his arms up in the air. So it's like a cool little visual of Brett Owen in the same.
I told this story, but it's like Michael Hayes made us appreciate those moments.
Yeah.
You know, like, where you're like, okay, like, nobody grows up wanting to be 24/7 champ. Like, it's not like when you're doing it, it's, I understand it's entertaining. But I remember Michael Hayes, as I came back, he's like, appreciate this. You're walking out of Madison Square Garden during a sold out arena with a WWE title.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, you know, you have to appreciate that, because he's like, otherwise you're gonna always be like,
it's about maximizing minutes. I know we keep going back to that, but that's true. I mean, working with R-Truth was amazing because he's been around for years.
Dude, and a lot of stuff we were calling in the ring, and like that's the stuff like you learn timing from R-Truth, the comedy.
Yeah,
and,
like, tell us what was the story with R-Truth that you guys were involved with?
That was unfortunately the full story never got told because you know how it is.
It's cut off.
It's all right.
Well, tell it now.
Well, it was supposed to be he was gonna start producing Bollywood movies as we were 24/7 champs, and he was gonna take it off. We pitched an idea where we were gonna book out like a ballroom
where we had Bollywood dancers,
and he was a director from India,
or was he a dancer? I think
no, he was gonna be a director from India, and as the scene's being directed, he was gonna come in and roll us up, and it was supposed to it never happened.
But like going back to your point, like with Truth, like there were so many other like just cool moments, like he couldn't tell us apart, like this thing or that thing, you know, because you know the Bollywood boys look the same, right? So it was a lot of comedy and timing was the key with the Truth. You can't there's comedy in wrestling, but there's timing comedy, you know what I'm saying? So like we learned the difference between the two, and even at live events when he would come out, and I remember there was one match we did where I think we had planned it where the opening segment the opening spot was like whatever it was, but the crowd was so hot and behind him, he's like, hey, next time I have my back towards you guys, just jump me, because you'll get the heat right away. So we're like, shit, like, you know, we were thinking about the spot we had planned, and we're like, okay, no, but just calling stuff on the fly and learning and doing calling these audibles with truth is something you can't, like,
learn. Sure.
You can't learn that, but for somebody like a veteran like him, shit, just jump me.
Longevity also.
Yeah, just longevity.
You know, those talks we used to have in the locker room, like, you know how it is, right? Like, you go out, do your thing, and him, like, look how long he's been around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's been around for a very
long time. And always in a spot.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because he's he can do anything. That's the thing. He hasn't been in a while, but he can be serious when he needs to
be.
He can be comedy when he needs to be. He can sing. He can dance. He can do whatever.
Whatever.
That's what the position you want to be in.
Exactly.
And you guys have that experience to be able to do that now, too, as well.
Yeah. For the 5 years, I feel like we were kind of like that. Like, okay, put him here. Yeah. Okay, put him here. Okay, put him here. And like always adapting.
You always made it work no matter what situation.
Right, right. Let's talk about the Punjabi prison match.
Oh,
that's a vicious match. And to be honest with you, who was in the one that you guys were in?
With Randy.
Randy and Jinder.
Jinder, yeah.
So the one prior was Big Dave Batista versus
Kali,
which was not great because I remember the Punjabi prison was falling down, and it's Kali. He's a big guy, not the most mobile of guys. This was a different style of match and a much better the second time around with you guys involved, but there were some pretty serious bumps and bruises in that one.
Yeah. Well, we had to do a rock, paper, scissors of who takes the fall off the top, because as soon as we saw it, we're like, well, you know, one of us is coming off the top there, right?
So so is it rock, paper, scissors in who gets to do it?
Yeah.
You probably want it out. Thank God.
It should be rock, paper, scissors as who doesn't get to do it. I win, you get to do
it. No, that was one of those things we knew.
But we were excited.
Yeah, right? And I was just like, yeah. And I remember talking to Randy a couple of weeks before and pitch the idea to him, and he's like, yeah, we'll get it done, you know. And that's the thing, like, he didn't want to do it, you know, because like, oh, it's not, the story doesn't make sense or whatever, but he wanted to put that spotlight on us, and you know, in a situation where it didn't need to be about us, he made it like those 10 seconds about us, you know. And but yeah, I remember climbing up, and during the match, I mean, if you watch it as Randy's punching me, I'm climbing up even more instead of like working down, because I'm like, I think I could go higher. I'm like, if I'm gonna do this, I might as well.
No, is it a cage or is it those like bamboo shoes?
It is, I think legit.
Are they attached to a cage?
No, I don't think so.
What are you shimmying up the bamboo?
Yeah,
shoot, like a monkey or something?
Like Mowgli, right?
Yeah, Mowgli. Yeah.
But yeah, man, it was a hard fall, man.
So, because I remember it was did you go through a table?
Yeah, there was no padding, nothing. I was legit just coming down a table and the floor.
Wow.
And
and he's so light, they were just hoping that he broke the table.
Well, yeah, right, he bounced off it, right?
Yeah,
last time wasn't ready, picked you through the table, you had it on your head, you just flipped right over.
Yeah, no, it hurts. I don't think people
realize. Well, yeah, geez, no kidding. No, let me ask you a question. Did you really rock, paper, scissors for it?
No, he's messing with me.
But we did talk about, you know, obviously that spot needs to happen. We gotta make that memorable.
And I think it goes back to, we were just trying to earn our keep.
Yeah.
We didn't want to be like, oh shit, when this run ends, are we done? We wanted to be like, yo, man, we fucking belong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, I know, like, getting like Randy was like checked up on me, and like getting a text from Foley after that.
Yeah,
was
first
like,
guy to message him saying, you know,
seems like Mick really likes you guys.
Yeah, and like stuff like that means a lot. Like, you know, where like you do something like that.
It's a guy like Mick who inspires those falls, and Sean, who, you know, from the very first Hell in a Cell, shit, like if you're hanging, just you know.
That was the first one that Sean fell to the table, right?
Right.
And that goes back to like
I think the best way to summarize our run is that we're just trying to earn our stripes. Mm-hmm. You know, we wanted nothing handed to us, and I feel
we could have easily just walked in and just like
coasted along and just like, okay, we're getting a weekly paycheck,
trying to stay under the radar.
Yeah,
and stay
man, we were
possible.
Just no, we like, just wanted to really earn our stripes and make it the old school way, the earn that, you know, you earn your shit, basically.
Mm-hmm. Like, we weren't really cutting promos or anything during that time, so like we could only get over with our bumps.
Yeah,
and that's what you were there to do.
Yeah exactly,
be the
right
bump guys.
Yeah,
because I remember the, like, was it Brock that dumped you guys
yeah
in head too?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
just vicious looking bumps where I'm like, oh my gosh, guys.
We felt those, and I think a lot of people don't realize how hard we worked during that run.
And even like the bumps with AJ, like that second rope
Styles Clash
on SmackDown, like that was right away. We're like, yo, one of us will take it from you. And, you know, because we saw him doing it on Impact back in the day, we're like, the Super Styles Clash, boom, that, you know,
would run in just to take these big bumps.
Yeah, but let's jazz him up a bit. Even with Brock's, we're like, you know, hey, man, like, let's make him look good.
We're gonna get tossed anyways.
Right.
So you told Brock make it look good.
No, we told ourselves. Let's make him look good. He's gonna make him look good anyway. So it's funny because before we went out, we were just talking about Saskatchewan because he's up there somewhere,
hoping to get some kind of connection with him. He looked at you like what?
I just remember my belt coming apart when he chucked me across the ring. I'm like, oh, yeah. At least my pants stayed up.
No, there was some bad ones there. But it's interesting, though, because you guys are always kind of posting inspirational posts on Instagram. Yeah. I mean, when you were on the golf course or wherever you were, talking inspirational posts. Yeah. Like, what is the mindset behind constantly doing this?
Oh, man. I mean, I think that's just who we are. Yeah.
You know, we want to feel like there's so much left to do. Yeah. So much. I mean, a lot of our success and our drive motivation comes from our parents. You know, you got to remember, like, I might get choked up here and I apologize in advance.
Nothing wrong with that, man.
You know, like, I think our parents took our release pretty hard. You know,
did they?
Yeah, because for them,
like, our dad's an immigrant. Yeah. Like, he's a bus driver. Like, he's like a blue collar, you know, works in Vancouver, like the depot, and like clocks in, clocks out, and his sons are in WWE.
Yeah.
Like, the badge.
Nobody was more proud of where we were at or what we were doing than our father. Like, you know, for him, it's like such a, wow, my sons are up there. So, but I took a couple of weeks for him to kind of like, we told him, like, Dad, like, the world's opening up. We're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. You know, we had to tell him, we had to reassure him that everything's going to be good and we're going to succeed no matter what. So, but they just want to see us succeed no matter what, where and what we do. But I feel like they definitely are our inspiration, even like to this day. Yeah. You know, they're just like, no matter what you guys do, even when we were going to come talk to you, they're like, oh, you know, like, make sure you know you talk to Chris and like you know just be humble and you know
yeah
but no they
I think there's nothing's ever been handed to us, like even when we're on the indies, like I know people come, well, like I drove from Chicago to New York, like man, we're like those northern hell tours, we joke about
Trans-Canada Highway,
like, I mean, anybody can love this when you have a guaranteed check, but man, when we're driving up for 73 hours for Tony Condello and sleeping on like frozen lakes, that's the real shit, and we're making $100 maybe, but like you go from that into like, okay, now you like making a good six-figure salary and now it's gone, okay, we're gonna get back somehow, somewhere we're gonna succeed, like it's just in
and
our
that's
DNA.
The beauty of it, we have each other as brothers. It's such a hard business to be in anyways, but like to, you know, have someone to lean on and vice versa is like, man, like
what's the age difference to you guys?
3 years.
That's pretty much the same as Matt and Jeff and Matt and Nick.
Oh, wow.
I think they're both 3 years apart. It's very interesting.
Yeah, so especially in this cutthroat business, you know how this business works. Yeah. And if you don't have somebody, that could be very dark and it can eat you up. But as soon as we even, like, going back to when we got released, it was more like, okay, like, what's
here? And you guys were together when you got that call.
Yes.
That's pretty.
Yeah, we literally, like, 30 seconds apart, I got the call, he got the call. We, like, linked up right outside the ring where we train and shit, he's already,
we like literally hugged and we're like, good run, let's get back to it.
Like it's literally
you don't want to dwell on it, like it's,
you can't dwell on the past, you just make the most of it and all right, man, let's carry on.
I think one of you guys said, like, it pretty much, unless you're one of the few exceptions, it happens to
everybody gets it eventually.
All our heroes have been through it, you know, and they figured it out,
right
you know, everyone that
seems though, the inspirational post is that you're trying to pass along some of the wisdom that you guys have learned onto maybe some people that are going through similar things.
Well,
your fans.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, when we, even before we got released, like, a lot of kids from India reached out to us, or still do. They're like, hey, like, you guys are such an inspiration to us.
And you guys,
like,
be Indian heroes, right?
I guess you can say that, because, like, we're not those jacked up giants, you know what I'm saying? Or, like, we're just normal looking dudes, you know, and that inspire. And that's been the number one key, I think, ever since this release happened, is like how much inspiration we're getting from kids from India who are saying that we inspire them.
It's funny, it's like, I remember when Terry Taylor called us, he was like, this is going to be your real test.
Yeah.
Because anybody could make it the first time, you know, but it's like, now this is going to prove your character. Like, can you stay grounded? Can you stay like focused and like, okay, pedal to the metal. Let's get back to wherever we need to. Like, this is going to be our real test. Like, you know, the first time we made it to WWE was like, okay,
and Chris, you know it better than anyone. Like, it's like, if you can get over the, everyone takes a release differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can make the most of it, or you can just be like, okay, that's just dwell on it. And
well, I mean, you see this, and this is not cutting anybody down, but you see when there's releases, some guys, I mean, go back to, you mentioned Drew McIntyre.
Right.
He was released, went back into the scene, made a huge name for himself. Eddie Guerrero did it. Other guys...
Jinder himself.
Jinder, perfect example too.
Yeah.
Other guys just disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you never see them again. I don't think that's going to happen with you guys. No, it's different for you guys.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny you talk about the motivation stuff. A lot of that is like to make yourself believe it, you know, because we all have insecurities, like I'm like all of us in the world. And sometimes when you put it out there, it's just putting it to the universe. Cause I really believe that, like, what you feel, what you believe, your words, that's what comes back to you. So like sometimes when I post it, it's literally for me, you know, so I'm posting this into the universe that I'm going to be okay. And I'm going to succeed and I'm still going to make it and wherever that is. And a lot of that I feel like,
and for guys like us, we're going to have to work still hard because we're not like these big names that got released, you know, like, oh my God, you know, we represent a certain market, you know, a certain category. But like for us, and we know that we're going to have to put in the hard work. We know we're going to have to put the pedal to the metal and like really go out there and shine and show we belong no matter where we end up, you know, and we're ready for that because it's one, a lot of people outside looking in, it all looks great. You know, oh, you're in the WWE, but we love the business. We love pro wrestling. We grew up watching pro wrestling. So we want to succeed in this business, not just like within WWE, but no matter where we end up.
Did you get a lot of feedback from fans?
Yeah.
You got let go?
I was like, that was the thing. Like,
that surprised us, actually.
Yeah, I thought.
Especially being on 205. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Like, you know, especially like the last 1 year, we're so hidden. That so many people like welcomed us, like, you know, like the bookings that have been offered internationally and just the fans reception.
Because you don't know, like, you can't go and say, okay, so, you know, like Raw last night did 1.5 million and AEW did 1 million, but you don't know 205 Live who's watching
Exactly. It was so hidden, right?
Yeah. And that's where it's like, whoa, shit. Like, you know, most fans enjoyed our work and like want to see us succeed. And that's the beauty of it. And that's the inspiration we get. And it's like, you know, if you can, and I remember you telling us this too, or just saying it in general, you're like, if you can get over in a gymnasium hall, you can get over anywhere.
Mm-hmm. You can get over at WrestleMania, though. Yeah, I remember you.
Whatever wise words I said. That's the truth. If you know how to get over, it doesn't matter. Small building, big building, it all translates. Yeah. And if you can't get over in the small building, it's the same story.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
You know, and you guys were always over in Vancouver and those areas, so it's no surprise at all.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, that's the exciting part, the grind again. Because when you're in the system, it's like you got the check coming in, and you're kind of okay, nothing for you guys. Okay, great. I'll go home. Well, I guess
catering is good.
Yeah, no, but like, there's not much you can do, you know, after a certain point. But now it's like our destiny's in our palms, right? Like,
yeah.
And so we can grind, and that is exciting because I mean that's what we did for the last 14 years, right?
You guys have really been focusing on your fitness too. I see once again on Instagram a lot of thirst trap pictures, as I've been told. You guys have ripped up a lot. What's your kind of regimen for that?
I mean, just dieting and
counting macros.
Counting macros.
Yeah,
explain what that is.
So we got this app called MyFitnessPal. I'm sure you've heard of it. And like, we got a coach down in Vancouver who's just, we'll check in with him every week, and he'll, based on how we're looking, he'll give us our macro numbers for that week.
And macros, calories, or?
It's everything.
Like micronutrients, like your carbs, fats, proteins. Gotcha, you hit a certain number. And then, we're never going to be the biggest guys.
Yeah.
So we're like, like, you know, so you might as well.
90 days, we get all jacked up.
We'll come back to Talks Jerk.
New diet plan. We'll come back in tank tops.
Yeah, that's right. So that's important. The macros works.
Yeah, it works. Especially for us, because it allows you to fit certain foods that you wouldn't be able to treat yourself to. So it's like it's kind of like if it fits your macros, so you can like put it, you can fit it into your meal plan.
You get a certain amount per week or something?
Yes. Or
a day. It goes back to you're never going to be 300 pounds. Right. So you might as well just look as good as you can.
Bruce Lee.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. He looks, and TV usually, like, if you're more cut you are, the better you look. And that was just kind of, you know, the feedback we always kind of got.
I'm sure that inspires you even more. So I saw the milk ad that you did. You put your gear on and the milk.
Yeah, you see that? A2 Milk Canada. We got a little plug in there. A
little plug for A2 Milk. Yeah.
Those pictures were taken in my backyard on a shoot.
Funny thing is, it was like, we were through WWE and we still had to post them after we got fired because, like, legally
You can start wearing your new t-shirt too.
I was so happy with that.
You guys got to start your pro wrestling t-shop now.
It's actually in the process.
All that stuff, man. You guys are, it's one of those things, like I mentioned before, like if you get divorced after 20 years, you got to jump back in. Like, what do I do now? Yeah. 5 years has changed.
Yeah.
You know, things have changed now a lot.
Exactly. So I got to feed the family, and we've got to make the most of every situation and every little piece of work we get now. You know, you can't just be like, okay, we'll pick this up and we'll just, you know, we got to really put some thought process behind it. Going back to even like the pro wrestling tee stuff, like you can't just release any shirts. You got to be like, top designs and our creativity goes in. Do you know what I'm saying? That's the exciting part of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like we said, you have the 3 months to really kind of focus and figure out, because in 3 months, things are going to be even more open. You got to hit the ground running, right? You know?
No, and that's what we're excited. Like, there's like, I mean, I always wanted to get back into acting because that was like a big passion of mine. And right
didn't
now.
Haven't you done some form of Bollywood movie?
Yeah, no, I have. I have. And so when WWE happened, like.
Of course.
But so it's crazy though. Like, Vancouver right now, this is just luck or destiny, is the place to be for acting with all the streaming services like Netflix, Amazon.
So much
Prime.
Up there.
Vancouver's is pretty much the backdrop for every TV show if you watch them. Like, and so I'm just in the process of getting an agent. So I'm like, I'm so excited. Like, you know, in August, I know like pilot season starting up, so I want to get back out there.
And the cool thing about all this, like right now, like ethnic minority people aren't in demand for acting or for any gigs. So like,
we feel
like
so stuff like that, where it's like I haven't done it for 5 years, but it's like it's literally down the road for me now. Like it's the place, not even LA or New York.
We had to shoot down a lot of agencies up in Canada just because we were.
There was like
shoot down.
Yeah, because like we'd get random offers.
Right. We're with WWE, but now it's like, hey, we can go back to those agencies. Like, hey, you know, like
we're available.
We're available for work, and
so that's exciting. Like that's like the potential of like getting a lot of work. I'm like every like the Superman show is being filmed out there. Batwoman is being filmed out
there. Like, Riverdale, everything's up there. Yeah,
and so like it's just in the back.
Cena was up there filming as
well. Right? So
yeah.
That is a big thing that I'm like with the 3 months. I'm zoning in on that. So that's exciting.
Yeah. How about for wrestling wise? Will you get a booking agent for that, or just do it yourself, or how does that all work?
I think, to be honest, man, like we haven't thought about that.
Yeah,
like, it's the first time someone's asked us that. So that's something maybe we can talk about off air. But like, I think right now we're gonna just
Doing our own thing. Yeah. Like, like the offers from like internationally. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy. Like, I remember a Middle East one came in, Singapore, Philippines.
That's great. So people just find you.
Yeah,
yeah, and they're like found us on Twitter and all that. We're like, that's cool. Like, yeah, like let's talk once the 90 days is up. And
Bollywood booking 10@gmail.com.
Well, that's the thing. Like you mentioned, because there is so much kind of work in every country and all around.
Yeah.
Would you want to go right into another company, or would you want to kind of do some world touring first?
I mean,
if another company came calling, obviously you got to go where the paycheck is and the guaranteed money, right? But like, you know, we're excited because we know no matter where we go, we can be a credit to that company, and we can help make that company money or be an asset for sure. No, we have total. Yeah.
And that was, when Sean messaged us, that was the one thing he said, and that really meant a lot. And guys like him wouldn't say things to, you know, because they don't have that time.
Yeah, just go out of their way to do that.
Yeah, and for him to say like, we're an asset to anybody, like that meant a lot. Like okay, like, you know, well, no matter what happens, like I think we'll be okay, you know. And then that's the mindset, the motivation,
and that's the crazy thing is like our peers reached out, but a lot of people who are like up there that have reached out, like, you know, like going back to like Foley Rand, like
just sending tweets.
Yeah,
I mean,
man, like that meant a lot. Like, going back, like now that we've talked for like 45 minutes, I'm just sitting here thinking, like, man, we must have really impressed those guys, and you know, people like all those legends that we worked with, like. And those are people that we grew up watching. Yeah. So to get that, you know, just that nod of approval.
It's a good pat in the back when you, I mean, listen, yes, it's very positive. You guys went and worked out after, but deep down inside, it's like, oh no, like it's a little bit of uncertainty and probably a little bit of a downer. So when you get that sort of encouragement, it makes you realize we did something right.
Yeah, and I think that's what keeps us going. And I think that's been the story of our entire career is like, you know, we even before we got signed by WWE, we were never the indie buzz guys. Like we had a little bit of buzz with, you know, GFW or Rinka King in India through Jeff Jarrett and all that, but like it was never like, oh, hey, these are the guys you need.
Right.
These are the guys you want. We were
like you were headlining PWG against the Bucks or something.
Yeah, it's not like we got a T-shirt or like a Raw shirt or a SmackDown shirt. Hey, we're the red or blue. It was more like, hey, even when we did do CWC, I remember having that talk with the talent relations department. They're like, hey, like just go in there and impress Hunter. And okay, like there's no guarantee even coming out of that, but like we impressed him enough where we landed jobs. And even when we got the call to come work with Jinder on SmackDown, it wasn't a guaranteed run. It was just like, hey, we're putting you guys in this 3-week program, let's see what happens. That 3 weeks turned into 2.5 years.
Well, and it's 3 weeks to show what you can do.
Yeah, exactly. So it goes back, we know how we can get ourselves over if just given the right time. And
sure enough,
yeah.
And we have some amazing people to work with along the way.
And then we just have the ability to just succeed. yeah. somehow, some way. Yeah. Again, maybe just being smaller guys and a big man, still a relatively big man mm-hmm. sport, oh, right? Yeah. We just oh, somehow yeah, yeah. find a way to
We're going
to
get big now, brother.
That A2 milk, baby. Last few things to talk about. You mentioned it, and we always kind of have a joke about the legendary Tony Candela oh, yes. on the Northern Tours. Tell us about, did you do one Northern Tour?
We did a two.
Tell us about some of your high spots from those tours.
I think the first, like, the people don't realize they're driving.
Yeah.
Like, you have to drive from Vancouver to Winnipeg, then you have to pack all your food.
And that's 14 hours right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
a ground.
In a ground
yeah.
bus.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So you go in Vancouver to Winnipeg. So let me just explain for people who don't yep. know that the famous Northern Death Tours, the Hell Tours, they can be held in the winter or the summer. Both are just as bad. Winter's colder. Summer's got pterodactyl mosquitoes. And it's terrible. And you're driving from Winnipeg up to the Northern Reserves, the First Nation Reserves, which could be 25 hours in between
lakes
reservations with lakes in the middle and all this other stuff.
And if the lakes aren't frozen enough, you stop where you are until they freeze over and you continue that journey.
There's literally like a truck that goes by and sticks a pipe down the middle of a lake. If it's frozen or not, and then the cars can proceed.
So if it's not frozen, what do you do?
We just sit on the lake. That's not like it's crazy.
We had a what was it? 74
hour drive once.
Yeah, it was like it was because
that was the longest.
So what happened? Yeah, God. One time we had to go up.
Love the business, brother.
We went up Manitoba. I think it was 20 hours. The lakes weren't frozen enough, so we had to drive back down into the city of Winnipeg and go up the other way. Back up, so that was like a 48 to 72 hour run, and just because like the lakes weren't frozen.
But you know what's funny is like you can love this business when you know you're at the top and you're on pay-per-views and you get even a weekly check and you're doing like TV shows, but you really gotta love it when you do that, you know.
Yeah,
that,
like, dude, really we did those tours because of you guys. Edge, Christian, you know, Rhino, those guys. You guys, we were
Don
reading
Callis,
your,
all of us.
We were reading your books, and we were like, "Oh shit, these guys did it and made it to the WWE or like, whatever." And we're like, "Oh shit, we
remember we'll make it Tony too. Saying like, if you want to really test someone's love for this, send them on a tour."
Well, and that's why I've always had kind of a little bit of a soft spot for you guys for that reason, because it's just insane to even go through those.
Yeah.
And like you said, you have to love it because when you're sleeping on the high school gym at the Hudson Bay Company by your peanut butter jar, which costs $45.
Exactly.
You know, there's really nothing to do except for just love wrestling. That's all you got.
Like something like Brett even told us, like Canadians have to work 10 times hard for like the visa is a big issue. And like, then when we get here, we have to stay here. You know, there's a lot of stuff like as Canadians and just the travel schedule for us, like Vancouver to Calgary used to be 13 hours in the wintertime. And we do those drives.
Yeah.
You
we
know,
used to do them all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And
that, cause it's for one show for $50.
Exactly.
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 And then even the drive, even the flight. That's why when the creative was asking, do you guys want to fly out every week? Even if you don't do anything, we're like, hell yeah. Like just bring us into work.
We're flying.
We're fine. Like these flights are easy. So like two connections, no problem, brother. And going even Candela's like, you know, his tours were like 4 weeks long. People forget it's not like just like a one or 2 day thing. It's like you're up there on these reserves for 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and if there's a passing, if someone passes away on that reserve, everything gets canceled. So you have to wait a day or two, and
that's the thing too. When you're saying a 4 week tour, it's not like there's 28 shows. It could be like 8 shows in those 4 weeks, depending how long the drives are and what happens with the reservations and the chiefs and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
You learn a whole different part of life
when
you're up there, which is something people don't even realize.
You appreciate everything and you learn to respect their community and, you know, show love to them because, man, it's like, to your point, like what costs like $2 for a gallon down here in Winnipeg is like $10 up there.
Mm.
It's like twice the money and twice the amount. And so like you pack enough food from Vancouver just so you don't run out of food. And watch Tony call us now. He's like, hey, you guys
know if I do another tour.
He's still running them. How much you love the business, kid. You're going to want a limousine to take you that 28-hour drive across the lake.
Oxford House, baby. He's like, does Adam want to do one?
Did you do the summer or the winter?
I did the summer. I never did a Candela Death Tour because I was much smarter than that. But my very first tour ever was Bob Holliday was the local promoter for WWE for years and years and years. And he ran a tour in the summer. So I had the summer experience, which isn't much better than the winter.
It's like you're on boats and stuff?
You drive around the lake on dirt roads, gravel roads, and that's you're going brutal. 75 clicks, 80 clicks an hour on those roads. You're sliding back and forth, and the mosquitoes and all the same thing, except for it was, Manitoba in the winter is freezing.
Yeah.
Right. Manitoba in the summer is super hot and humid with tons of bugs.
Yeah.
So I got that side of it.
Friendly Manitoba.
Yeah, exactly.
Bring all your 8x10s.
That's right. Yeah, brother. And your Polaroids. Last question for you. You guys had a 5-year run. We've talked a lot about it. What are your favorite matches from that time frame? Is there a few that stand out for you?
Or moments? Yeah, moments. Oh, man.
There's a couple. Match-wise, I think we had a match with the Legado Del Fantozzo.
With who now?
Legado. What's their second
Legado.
Yeah, they're with Escobar, Santos Escobar.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, it was for the Dusty Classic first round. And that was the match I remember coming back. And like Terry, I mean, he's ripped us apart many times. And he's like, that's f-ing awesome.
That's great.
And I was like, you know, that's when I was like, and Sean had great things to say about it, and that would be the match wise.
Yeah, even though the stuff we did with AJ on SmackDown was fun, just because, you know, he was actually able to give us a lot in that match and give us.
So AJ was trying to get through you guys to get to gender.
Yeah. So that, and a lot of off camera moments, you know, again, going back to our parents, like, you know, like having them come to our first live event at Rogers Arena in Vancouver, that was pretty cool. Like, that's where our dad used to take us for, like, pay-per-views.
Well, there was that SmackDown at Rogers Arena.
Right, yeah.
And then that was cool.
Yeah, Vancouver, we got to go back there.
And I mean, we're not that super over, but that night, man, it was cool. Like,
you guys are super over at the Rogers?
Man, if you pulled up that 205, there was a Bollywood. We got a standing ovation.
I think I saw that on the news.
It was on the news. And like, and I got to say, Vancouver loves us, like the city of Vancouver.
I think Anna just loves the three of us a lot. Those are really great moments, man.
Yeah.
We literally travel the world, like, and then not a whole lot of people.
But the coolest thing was, like, going back to the gender run, is even though when we were doing the managing stuff with him, just sitting in the locker room listening to Randy and Cena and AJ, whoever gender was working that night, like putting a match together, you know, like it just like flies on the wall listening to everything and soaking in as a sponge, and then just like, shit, you can't learn that stuff in a wrestling school or like sitting in a classroom or like breaking down a match. That stuff is like old school, on the job.
Like, yeah, I know. I feel like we got
fly training
when we were with gender. Like, all the locker room just loved us because we were just, you know, we got along with everybody. And like, I know Brody would always like, you know, joke around with us, play hockey, and it was just a lot of fun, like traveling the world.
Poor Brody was a Leafs fan.
And he was a big Leafs
poor
fan.
Guy.
Right,
we would all do the hacky sack game.
Yeah.
Warm up the hips.
And it's interesting too because Cena, I think at that point was basically calling everything in the ring. Right.
Yeah. I remember
that's a lost art.
Yes. Yeah.
And that was actually that's a moment I totally forgot about in Tampa.
Yeah.
When I remember us standing in Gorilla and Cena's music hit and he ran out by us. And I was like, oh, that gave me goosebumps. Like, that's John Cena, you know? And we're just like trying to get over, trying to make it in this. And we're going to be in the ring with, even if it's for a couple of bumps.
Even with him, it was always like, why we're doing. And he's one of the old school guys. Like, kind of like, he's one of the last few guys that can do the calling it on the fly because he came to the ranks with you and Sean and learned from that era. So it's like, you listen to him as why and where you put certain things. And I remember him putting that match together with Jinder. And besides, I think the commercial break spot, like, everything else was like, well, call it out there.
Call the ring,
man.
That's him, yeah. Well, dude, you guys had a 5-year run in the WWE. That's something to be proud of, and I'm sure there's a lot more to come. A
lot more, baby.
Lots of big matches.
Yep. Death tour first.
Yeah. Ballywood boys come to Blood Vein. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, brother.